What if technique, paradoxical magnification. You may recall that the what if technique is similar to the downward arrow technique, but you ask yourself questions like this instead. What if this really happened? What am I the most afraid of? What's the worst thing that could happen? The what if technique allows you to uncover the fantasy that's been fueling your fears. If you push this fantasy to the worst possible extreme, it will often begin to seem absurd. Here's how Helen and I used these two techniques. David. Helen, let's suppose that you went to the Stanford Shopping Center one day without any makeup on, and people saw your nose and thought it was ugly and repulsive. Does that scenario frighten you? Helen. Oh, yes. It sounds horrible. David. How many people do you think might be grossed out by your nose? Helen. There could be as many as 100. David. Does that frighten you? Helen. It sounds awful. David. Why would it be awful? Let's say that 100 people saw your nose and felt totally disgusted. What then? What are you the most afraid of? Helen. They might tell their friends. David. Okay. Let's suppose that each person who saw your nose told 10 friends about it. Now, 1,000 people know about your nose. What if that happened? Does that idea upset you? Helen. I can't even stand to think about it. David. But I want you to stick with it for just a bit longer. If 1,000 people agreed that your nose was the worst nose they'd ever seen, why would that be bad? What are you the most afraid of? Helen. Well, they might tell even more people, and the word would start to spread. David. Okay, let's assume that all 1,000 people tell 10 of their friends about your nose. Now there are 10,000 people in Los Angeles talking about your nose. Would that be upsetting? What would happen then? Helen. They might tell even more people. David. Let's examine the worst possible outcome. Assume that 10,000 people each tell 10 more friends about your nose, and they all tell 10 others, and so on. Now the news about your nose is spreading like wildfire throughout the Bay Area, and more than 1 million people are gossiping about your nose and feeling disgusted. In fact, there's so much concern that an article about your nose appears on the front page of the Los Angeles Times with a photo of your face taken secretly by the paparazzi through a telephoto lens. I can see the headline now, "Woman spotted at local shopping center with scar on nose. Parents advised to keep children indoors during daylight hours." The last part of the dialogue is an example of paradoxical magnification. The goal is not to make fun of Helen, but rather to make her aware of how she's exaggerating things. Unfortunately, the what-if technique didn't lead to any real relief for Helen. Although she could see that her worst fears seemed extremely unlikely, she was still convinced that there was an ugly scar on her nose that turned people off. Examine the evidence. When you use examine the evidence, you ask yourself questions like this. Is there any solid evidence that supports my negative thoughts? How did I come to this conclusion in the first place? Sometimes you'll discover that your fears are based on emotional reasoning, not on realistic evaluation of the way things really are. Here's what happened when I asked Helen these questions. David. Helen, I'm wondering how you came to the conclusion that people would be turned off by an ugly scar on your nose. Is there any solid evidence for this belief? Helen. Well, when I look in the mirror, my face looks ugly and I get very anxious. That's the main thing. David. But I'm wondering if there's any evidence that other people also get turned off when they look at you. Has anyone asked you about the scar on your nose or noticed there'd been a change in your appearance? Helen. No, nobody has said anything like that. But when I think about going out in public, I feel like everyone is going to stare at my nose and feel disgusted. David. I'm sure that must be horribly stressful. I wouldn't want people to stare at me and feel disgusted either. But I'm wondering if you have any real evidence that people actually do feel disgusted by your nose.
When you've been out in public, have people stared at you in horror? Have any mothers looked stunned or shielded their children's eyes when you walked past them?
Helen, not exactly. I stay inside most of the time because I think my nose looks like a clown nose or something.
David, how did you come to the conclusion that your nose looks like a clown's nose? Have you had some upsetting experiences recently? What have you observed when you've been out in public?
Helen, people always act polite. They pretend like they don't notice my nose, but I have the feeling that they really do.
Helen couldn't come up with any evidence to support her belief that there was an ugly scar on her nose, other than the fact that she felt anxious and avoided going outside the house. However, she discounted the fact that no one seemed repulsed by her nose because she had such an overwhelming feeling that it really was disgusting. Examine the evidence didn't seem to be doing the trick, so I moved on. Cost-benefit analysis. I wondered if there might be some hidden payoffs or rewards that were fueling her anxiety. If so, it would explain why she was still stuck. I asked Helen to list all the advantages and disadvantages of telling herself that there was an ugly scar on her nose that spoiled her face. How would this belief help her, and how would it hurt her? Helen was able to list quite a few advantages of the thought, as well as a number of disadvantages. When she weighed them against each other, she decided that the disadvantages of the thought were much greater than the advantages. Unfortunately, the CBA didn't help her very much, because even though she could see that the negative thought wasn't to her advantage, she was still convinced that it was true. Clearly, it was time for a more powerful technique. The experimental technique, smile and hello practice. The experimental technique involves doing an actual experiment to test the validity of a negative thought or self-defeating belief. I asked Helen if she'd be willing to perform a bold experiment to test her negative thoughts. I suggested that she could go to a fashionable Beverly Hills shopping center in broad daylight and smile and say hello to 20 strangers. I told her to bring an index card with her, and after she smiled and said hello to someone, she could put a tick mark on the card to indicate whether the person responded in a positive, neutral, or negative way. That way, she could put her belief that people would be grossed out by her nose to a test. Helen was extremely reluctant to perform this experiment. She'd been hiding out in her house for weeks and was convinced that people would be shocked by her appearance. But she was determined to get well and agreed to do the experiment in spite of her fears. The next morning, Helen went to the shopping center and did her smile and hello practice. She was amazed that 15 of the 20 people she greeted responded in a friendly and pleasant way. 5 people didn't realize that Helen was saying hello to them and ignored her. She rated them as neutral responders. No one seemed shocked or put off by her appearance. These results were difficult for Helen to reconcile with her conviction that there was an ugly scar on her nose that turned everyone off, and her belief in the negative thought fell to 70%. This was the first time we'd made a dent in her beliefs about her nose. However, she discounted the results because she was wearing heavy makeup. I asked Helen to return to the shopping center the next day and repeat the experiment without any makeup on. This idea terrified her because she was certain that people really would stare at her nose in shock. I offered to meet with her when she was through so we could discuss the results. Helen was shocked by the results of this experiment. Almost everyone was friendly, and no one seemed repulsed by her nose. She even got into conversations with several women who were out shopping with their children. She could not reconcile this experience with her beliefs about her nose. At this point, her belief in the negative thought fell all the way to 10%, and she felt a wave of relief.